Welcome to the St. George's Leeds podcast. Sharing life, loving Leeds.
Thank you. Thank you for the welcome. Like I say, it's really great to see some friendly faces and be back and just share about St. Hild and what God's doing with us, which is lovely. So please do pray. Please pray for St. Hild College and pray for God to keep raising up leaders. Or people who just want to know more about God, and our job is to try and help them to learn. But pray that God will raise up people. That would be super. And when I was talking with Luke about what to speak on this evening, it's something that's been on my heart for a few months now. And it all began with a conversation with someone in this service here this evening, actually. And we were chatting about a family situation which was really difficult. And this friend said to me, my uncle is in big trouble because he's about to lose his wife and potentially his daughter. And I said, that's shocking. And was just wanting to pray. And then this person said, But do you know what? Even though it's a really dangerous situation, it's a really difficult situation, amazingly, God is at work. And my first thought was brilliant. I mean, that's what faith, what a great thing. And then I was reflecting on it, and I thought, why does it amaze us that God is at work when things are difficult? Why is it so amazing? Like, as if our picture of God is that God does the good stuff. Like, God does the healing, and God does the blessing, and God does the light, and the brightness, and the good stuff. But actually, when it's difficult, and confusing, and complicated, God's like, I don't really do that. You need somebody else for that. And it made me think about, where do we see God? And as I said already, it might be you're here because you're a Christian, or it might be here because you're thinking about Christian faith. But where do we see God? What are we looking for when we're looking for God? And we sing a song, I don't know if you still sing it here, We Want to See Your Kingdom Here. Do you still sing that one? We want to see your kingdom here. Do you see that one? Is revival we want to see? Maybe not. Maybe. You do still sing it. There you go. And so here's my question. We want to see your kingdom here. What are you looking for when you're looking for the kingdom? What are you looking for? How do you know when you're going to see it? That's my question. What are you looking for when you're looking for the kingdom? And we did this thing at Riverside Church, which is where we go with me and my family. We go down to Riverside Church just to the side of town. And we had this slot in the morning. And a lot of churches do this, they're called This Time Tomorrow, TTT, This Time Tomorrow. It wouldn't work so well in the evening service, would it? In the morning service, it works well, because it's like 10:30. So like at 10:30 tomorrow on Monday, where will you be? You'll be at work or with your family and your community, This Time Tomorrow. It's a great way to talk about God in our daily lives, great thing. At 6:30, it wouldn't really work, would it, This Time Tomorrow? But like, This Time Tomorrow, I'll be watching TV, or like, have microwaving dinner, or wouldn't be quite so interesting. And but we do it in the morning, so it works. And we say, look, what are you doing? People say, well, this is my job. I'm a administrator for dental works. I say, that's great. What's difficult about your job? He said, well, you know, new boss, not enough staff. Da, da, da. And then part of the interview, we would always say, where do you see the kingdom coming? And at that point, there'd be this tumbleweed moment of like, because what are you looking for if you're looking for the kingdom? How would you know if you saw it? Like maybe you think of the kingdom, you think, well, if the kingdom came, there'd like be 10 times as many people in church. And as people came up the steps of church, by the time they reached the third step, they'd already be healed. And there'd be like this light and this brightness, and that's the kingdom. Anyway, I'm a dental administrator, and where do you see the kingdom? Every week we ask these people, and every week people get to this point, they get a bit stuck. They'd be like, oh, I just try not to swear, really. And, you know, I try not to look at porn in the break, or I try to, like, I'm just trying to hold down my job. Maybe invite somebody to something? I don't know. I don't know. What does it look like? What are you looking for when you're looking for the kingdom? And I have this, I have an idea. There's a slide, there's a slide coming up now. I think that when we think about the kingdom, sometimes we're thinking sparklers now, fireworks later. Should we see if that works? Yay! Thank you. That was the highlight. And sparklers now, fireworks later. Like in the future, when God comes, when God fully restores and redeems creation, there's going to be fireworks. And what we have now is like sparklers. We have like mini fireworks. And God is in the sparklers. So when we say we want to see your kingdom, we want to see more sparklers, more like bright bits. And I'm not against that. I think that's, I can understand that totally. But I don't think that is all of it. I don't think that's all of it. Because the thing is, if we're looking for God in the brightness and in the glory and in the miracles, for instance, what about the times when that doesn't happen? Where is God? Where is the kingdom? And that's a question for me. So I thought we'd look at a passage, we'd do some theology on it. So I'm going to ask you a theological question. I can have a show of hands for this. When Jesus brought the kingdom, when he announced the kingdom, oh, we're going to have it again. Go on, press it again. Go on. Yay! Okay. But not again, not three times, okay? Twice is the only number of times we should have that. So here's a theological question for you, show of hands. When Jesus Christ came and talked about the kingdom, who thinks he brought what people expected in the main? In the main, who thinks he brought what people expected? Show of hands, hands up. Okay, who thinks he brought what people did not expect? Oh, how theologically literate you are. Very good. You're doing well. They've got better. okay. So here's my question. When we pray God's kingdom come, how do we know if our expectations are right? Because we're so much nobler and wiser than Jesus' contemporaries. We know what the kingdom is. We just want to see more of it. But how do we know if we're looking in the right places? So let me just think for a minute about the things that people expected with the kingdom. So one of the things people expected with the kingdom was a military kingdom, okay? Military power. People around the world, you know, if you follow the news, are still interested in military power, and that was certainly an interest at the time. One of the our great historical sources for Jesus is a general called Josephus. And he was a Jewish general, and he was so sure that the kingdom would be military, that it would be military power, that actually when it became clear to Josephus that the Jewish military power was reducing, he actually changed and became a Roman general. He was so committed to the idea that the Messiah, God's king, would bring military power that he would rather change his allegiance from the Jewish army to the Roman army that was attacking Jerusalem, because he thought the most likely fit for the Messiah was the Roman emperor. That's how strong there was an expectation of a military kingdom. Another great expectation was a kingdom of abundance. So one of the kind of parables and expectations at the time ran something like this. In the kingdom of God, every vine will bear 1,000 branches, every branch will bear 1,000 bunches, and every bunch will bear 1,000 grapes. Isn't that amazing? If you like grapes, that's a great thing. Or wine. If you like wine, that's a great thing. Some of you are more excited about the wine than about the grapes. Okay, fair enough. So Jesus, of course, Jesus, when he came, he did not bring that military kingdom. And that was hard because this was not what people expected. And even the abundance, now did he bring abundance? Well, yes, but also not like people expected. So Jesus did bring an abundance of food, for instance, but he brought it when people were desperate and hungry in the wilderness, and he brought it through the lunch of a child. So Jesus, as you rightly predicted, he did bring the kingdom, but he did not bring it as people expected. So why do we think he'll bring it the way that we expect? See, I think the kingdom for Jesus is less like the sparklers and the fireworks, although there are lots of amazing and glorious things in what he does. But it's not only like that, it's also like our next slide, which is this. Which is what? What is that? Which is, I think for Jesus, it was like a seed in the dirt. I think the kingdom of God for Jesus was like a seed in the dirt. My wife Elsa, she looked at that, she said, "You're showing them that picture?" I said, "Yes, I love it. I love this picture." She said, "It looks like a dropping." I said, but a seed is a dropping. She wasn't impressed by that, but I thought it was quite clever. Is there life in that photo? Yes. But is there mess in that photo? Yes, I love this photo. It's my kingdom photo. Because there is life and there is mess. And you've got to look at it closely to work out. I mean, some of you are still thinking, is that a seed? It is a seed. But if you do a Google search for seed, you get all these kind of lovely, kind of airbrushed pictures of seeds, and they're all kind of clean. They don't have like an ounce of dirt on them. They're totally clean. And they're like held in a hand. You know, the thing that there's a hand and it's got soil in it, a little seed, a little green thing coming out, a little kind of a stock image. But that's not what seeds are really like. Seeds are really like this. They're like messy and dirty. That's the kingdom Jesus bought. There's life in it. There's a future in it. And if you look at it now, that is nothing compared to what it's going to look like. But it's life. And I think Jesus bought the kingdom like that. And I want to look with you. I know it's high time we looked at the scriptures. So I want to look with you at one text, which is Matthew chapter 7. Now, we've got the text of this that can go up on the screen. But I can't work out if it's from this version or not, so hopefully it's not too different. Matthew chapter 7. I just want to give you one example, because I think Matthew in particular, Matthew's gospel, Matthew has a passion for this. Matthew chapter 7. This is verse 21. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" I think that's a fascinating passage. This is a really fascinating passage. This is the end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, an important block of teaching in Matthew's gospel. And he's talking about the kingdom, okay? He's talking about entering the kingdom, verse 21. The kind of people who are kingdom people. So who are kingdom people? And he says, well, I'll tell you who it's not. Okay, let's look at these people, okay? Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord." So there's going to be some people who say, "Lord, Lord," but they're not kingdom people. So these are people who are, well, they've got the right words. They're confessing Christians. They say to him, "Lord, Lord." I mean, you could say they're kind of doctrinally correct. They know their stuff. They know the right words to say. But not everyone like that will enter the kingdom, says Jesus. "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord,'" there they are at it again, you see, "'did we not prophesy in your name?'" Great, so these are people who prophesy. "'And in your name we drove out demons.'" I mean, how many of us can say that? "'And in your name perform many miracles.'" Many miracles. Wow, what incredible people. They call Jesus Lord, they prophesy, they cast out demons, and they perform miracles. That's incredible. They should get straight into heaven. Except that, he says, "I will tell them plainly, I never knew you." How is that possible? "Away from me, you evildoers." Like, so not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. That's what I'm interested in, says Jesus. I'm interested in obedience. It's obedience which is the key to entering the kingdom. Isn't that fascinating? All that stuff, all those sparklers, all those incredible things, miracles and exorcisms. I mean, they're great things. They're fantastic things, especially if you're the one that gets healed. They're particularly good. great. But you can be involved in all that stuff. But if there's not obedience, if you're not going to do the will of the Father, then you're not really a kingdom person. So you see, Jesus is not saying the kingdom is about the fireworks or the sparklers or whatever. He's saying it's about obedience. Miracles are, if you like, a sign of the kingdom of heaven. And they are a sign of the kingdom of heaven. But they're not the substance of the kingdom. Because you can have faith that can move mountains, for instance, but if you haven't got love, you've got nothing. So if you want to see the kingdom, you can't just look for miracles. And if you don't see miracles, it doesn't mean the kingdom isn't there. Later on in Matthew's gospel, he talks about getting everybody arranged in the future into the sheep and the goats. This is Matthew chapter 25. We won't look at it, but it's there. And he says, on the one hand and on the other hand, and there'll be a judgment scene, and the difference will be this. I was there. The presence of the king was there. I was there, and I was hungry or thirsty, or I was in prison, or I was naked, and you either did something about it or you didn't. I was there. And the people, interestingly, said, we didn't know that. When did you see that? On either side, they both say, look, we didn't know. You see, the presence of the king was there, and they said, we didn't know. Sometimes, if you want to see the kingdom, you've got to look back, and you might not have seen it at the time. Maybe you were thinking about something else. But you look back. And there, says Jesus, in these situations of need, actually it was the presence of the king. And you didn't see it, but it was. Now, I have to teach the kingdom of God as what part of my lectures. And last week, I said to them, when you come on Monday, you've got 7 days to come back with a kingdom story. So that's what they did. They had 7 days. They went off, and then they came back. And we spent the first half hour of the lecture just going over all these kingdom stories. It was amazing. But what was incredible to me was every single kingdom story was about need. It was incredible. We wrote them all on this big whiteboard. There's about like a big class of like 20 people, and everybody said, well, here was a need. And we're like, wow, it's almost like if you want to see the kingdom, you've got to be willing to get involved where the needs are. Like somebody said, well, I tell you how I saw the kingdom. But wait, I'm doing some work with local gangs on the local estate. And one of the young lads came up to me. He said, this lifestyle is going to kill me. He said, I need help. He said, I think that was the kingdom. And we're like, you are right. And somebody else said, well, I had a friend. She had suffering from anorexia. And then she just said one day, she said, I've had enough. I have had enough. And she said, I think that's the kingdom. And we're like, you're right. And somebody else said, we're going into prisons. We're going to women's prisons, and we're taking knickers with us. And we're bringing them high-quality underwear because we're speaking dignity into a place where human dignity has been eroded. And she says, I think that's the kingdom. We're like, hey, let's go with it. Yeah, that's the kingdom. That's the kingdom. Every single person, I haven't got time to do all 20, but all of them was a situation of need. And then you look back and you see that love was in action. And that is the presence of the king. That's what Jesus says. If you want to find the presence of the king, look back and see where there was love in action and needs were met in Jesus' name, and you will see it. But maybe you didn't see it at the time. But it's the kingdom. One more example, and then just want to wrap this all up. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and something very interesting happens. At the end of Jesus' life in prayer, let's do this. Why don't we do a Lord's Prayer test? This is always good, you know, like an MOT. It's good to be tested on the Lord's Prayer. So I'm going to do a bit, and then if you could tell me back the bit after, we'll see how this goes. Our Father in heaven. Very good. And said in the right tone as well. It's very nice. Very soothing. Your kingdom come. Yeah, you can't say thy will be done. It's your and your, or thy and thy, okay? Let's try it again. Your kingdom come. Thank you. Great. So what does that tell us about the kingdom? Which we kind of already know from this passage. Can you see the words kingdom and will? Do you see them in Matthew 7? Okay, and in Matthew 6, he's already taught them the Lord's Prayer, which is if your kingdom is coming, then your will is going to be done. So another way of describing kingdom is to talk about the will of God. So Jesus is in Gethsemane, and he knows he's about to die, and he knows he's about to be arrested, and he knows he's about to be tortured. This is about as dark as it can get. And in that place of darkness and suffering and fear and terror, he prays, and he prays, Father, take this cup away from me. Father, take this cup away from me, but not my will. Your will be done. Do you see that? Your will be done. Do you see what Jesus is doing? Jesus prays the Lord's Prayer. It's good. It's his prayer. He's doing the thing that he should be doing, the thing that he taught others to do. But he's actually really praying. He's saying, in this moment, look, my will is not to die. I want you to take this cup away from me, but not my will. Your will be done. So here's my other theological question for you. Was God's will done? What do we think? Was God's will done in Gethsemane? Nod for yes, shake for no. Yes, God's will was done. There in the face of suffering, there in the place of absolute terror, there in the darkness, no miracles, no miracles for Jesus. There in that place, God's will was done. And if God's will was done, then God's kingdom comes. God's kingdom coming, not in full, but in part. There in a garden with soldiers and terror, God's will being done in a human life offered up. One human life offered up, even though absolutely terrified. And we can all do that. We can all feel totally frightened by life. And yet we can offer up what we have and say, God, not my will, but your will be done. There in Gethsemane, God's will was done. And in part, God's kingdom did come. And so God's kingdom is not something that is only there in the sparklers and the light and the glorious things. God's kingdom is at work in any human heart which is open to God and surrendered, even in the darkest place. And I say that to you just as, in finishing now, because maybe your life is a bit like mine, and maybe in the morning you don't walk on water in the shower, and maybe you don't kind of conjure up breakfast out of nothing. Maybe life is just pretty normal for you most of the time. And I want to say to you that God is closer than you think. And there is more of God's kingdom in your life than you may realize. So when we pray, we want to see your kingdom here. Sometimes it's like, we want to see your kingdom here, God, because you're not doing your job. But maybe we should pray, we want to see your kingdom here. Give us new eyes. Give us eyes to see the presence of the King. Give us a heart which is obedient. And help us, even when we feel totally crushed, to somehow open up our lives to you and say, God, even in my darkest moment, I want to see your kingdom. Like a seed in the dirt, it's still there. Give me eyes to see. And maybe that could encourage you to be a prayer. God, give me eyes to see your kingdom. One more thought, just for St. George's, really. One of the things that struck me is we prayed, you know, deliver us from evil. Maybe we should also pray, deliver us from expectations. Deliver us from expectations, you know, because the kingdom doesn't come as we expect it. And it strikes me about Christians, how much when we're talking about the future and what we hope to see and what we imagine to see, we're actually just talking about the past and what we did see and we'd like to see again. Like the number of churches I've been in said, you know, I'd love it if this place was shaken by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that's happened. It's happened. It's already been written down. It's in the book of Acts. Number of times people say, God, I want that your church would be great in the land. I mean, it's happened. It's medieval times. There's pros and cons about it, really. God, I pray that your presence would be felt in the streets. Yes, that also has happened. Hebridean revival. Why are you praying for the past? Is your God stuck in the past? I'll tell you what God's going to do. He's going to do something that you don't expect. And I'll tell you what it's going to look like. It's not going to look like what's happened before. And I don't know what it is. And you don't know what it is. And as St. George's steps into whatever God has got for you in the future, being a resourcing church, a fancy resourcing church. You remember a resourcing church when I was here? It's just a common old garden, bog standard church. But now you're a resourcing church. Great. But do you know what I mean? What's it going to look like? Not what you expect. And the question is, are you willing to step with God into a future that you cannot predict or control? And it's not going to look like the past. It's going to look like something new. But God is calling you into something new. And will you walk with him?
Thank you for listening to the St. George's Leeds podcast. For more talks or information, visit stgs.org.uk.